In Deuteronomy chapter number 6 tonight, we'll be looking here. And how many are glad you're here?
Yeah, man.
All right. How many would rather be here than in hell?
Yeah, man.
Would rather be here in jail?
Yeah, man.
How many have been in jail? That's all right. Yeah, right there. Yeah, I've been there and done that. Don't go back, amen. All right. You're talking about fancy a while ago. Fancy will say anything not to rest on now since you've got old like me. But Fancy might say anything when she was younger. Amen? She ain't changed nothing. You can tell what she'd say. She used to see me and she said, "You sure have got fat." And I say, "Well, that looked like the kettle calling the pot black." Amen? I said, "You're fatter than you're tall." And that's the way you get along with Fancy. That's the kind of person she is. You just got to get along with her. Just cut her real deep when you cut her. And you can get along with it that way. She said one day, she said, "I ain't going to come back no more." I said, "You have to come back." She said, "I don't have to come back over here." I said, "You done tried every other church in Marion County, and they won't have you. They ain't got to come back here." So she come on back. And she's my friend. She always has been. She loves me, and I love her. And I've always got along good with her. She's made my wife cry more than anybody in church when we was pastoring. She'd say something, and Patty takes everything real serious, you know. Bothers her. I just cut her a little bit deeper, you know, and go right over. It didn't bother me. But anyway, but here in the Word of God, I want to look at tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to let us come. And you do pray for us this week. I'm going to preach for Brother Lucas, I believe, Wednesday and Thursday. He wants me to preach Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But I can't do that. I've got to be somewhere else. So he still wants me to be there. And then I got to go to somewhere. Where's that at? St. Stephen's. And Brother Alpha Willis is going to preach a youth. Can you imagine me preaching a youth meeting, 69 years old? Of course, you know, I've been through about all they're going through. Amen. And but anyway, preach a youth meeting down on Saturday night and then go to preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night for him. And it makes me real nervous because he's a preacher. He's a great preacher. Great preacher. You know that. Right, Scott? Scott's a great preacher. He's done a good job this morning, didn't he? Amen. I hate that he grew up under me and is a better preacher than I am. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me. When he's a better preacher than I am. He grew up under me. How did he do that? That's what I want to know. Amen. Okay, here in the Word of God tonight, I want to talk to you, this sort of hooks up this morning, and I want to talk to you this morning, tonight about this thing here. What will you tell your children? We had Mother's Day this morning, that's right, Mother's Day this morning, and Scott got a good message about Mother's Day this morning, and what are you going to tell your children? You're going to have to tell your children something. You're sitting here tonight, and you say, "Well, I'll just do what I want to, live like I want to, be faithful when I want to, not be faithful when I want to." You're going to have to account for that one of these days. Them children watching, you know, I heard a good testimony about Ms. Varner this morning. Her daughter praised her this morning. That's right. It should do that. And that's a real blessing. That means you didn't start yesterday evening. You didn't start praying for them yesterday evening. You didn't start raising them yesterday evening. That's a lifetime there. And she's invested in her daughters and children there. And it paid off this morning. And her daughter recognized it. Now, it takes you, your daughter's probably about 40, isn't she? Yeah, it takes about 40 years for them to recognize it, right? Right. My daughters, they seem to think Mom and Daddy got a whole lot smarter as they got 40. I knew back when we was farming on the farm, me and Daddy, and boy, I thought he was about dumb as a rock. He didn't know how to do nothing, didn't know how to buy new equipment. I thought we'd have new tractors, and like everybody else in town did, and around the country did, and get us a combiner instead of a reaper and a thrashing machine. I thought we ought to get gas burners and oil burners in the back of the barn instead of cut wood all the time for them. But Dad said, we can't do that right now. We don't have money. We're going to just go ahead like this. He said, one of these days they're going to lose all that and we'll still have our junk. And he was about right about that thing. But, when I got 40 years old, about 40 years old, and I got saved when I was 29, but at the time I got about 40 years old, I realized how smart Daddy was. He was a wise man, very, very smart man. He was a wise man, smart man. And most things I know today, most things benefited my life today, apart from Christ now, just general things in living, I probably learned from my daddy. Learned how to pay my bills, learned to work. I learned to work, never laid out of work, never got two or three jobs behind, you know, all this, that, and other. Never was without a job. Always had a job before I quit a job. And never have drawn unemployment. If you do, that's, you know, everybody drawing unemployment now because time's bad. But never have had to draw unemployment because I always had a job. I'd stay with it. I didn't like some of them, but I'd stay there. I went to town to make a living. I told Daddy, "I'm going to town to get me a check every week." I was tired of that tobacco check, you know, and in the fall of the year, and I was tired of selling calves and hogs in the spring, maybe, and had to make that money last to get down here. And I said, I'm going to town and get me a job. And she, and we wasn't fussing. I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm going to town and get me a job. I was interested in getting married, this lady down here. And we done that about 49 years ago. Amen. And so I went to town and got a job. He said, you won't make it. I said, yeah, I'm going to town. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to get a check every week. And I went to town, and I worked in a cardboard place. Anybody work in a cardboard box place? Lord, help us, Jesus. They cut my hands all to pieces. The first night, I was on a slitter machine, and you take that bundle of cardboard, you know, about a handful, and go over here like this. And the time you get over it, because you're used to it, you know, you got to hold it. Don't let it slip. You ever been cut with a piece of cardboard? This is brand new, fresh cardboard. It cuts good. It's like a Gillette razor. And I quit several times that night in my mind. You know what I said? But I can't go home. I told Daddy I was going to stick it out. And I stayed there about 3 years and then went ahead and got another job. But anyway, God's been good to me. Sure has still good to me. God's good anytime, or every time, all the time. And I thank God for being so good to us and saving our unworthy soul. Give us a home, give us a family. Calls to preach the Word of God. Been preaching. I looked in a book a while ago this month. Been preaching 36 years. Don't seem like it. Just started. And I still ain't too swift at it. I ain't too good at it. I ain't never been too good at it. And needs His help every time. I still need His help. Scott asked me a while ago, was I nervous? I said, yeah, still nervous. And I'm still nervous. Okay, look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And let's read some verses here. And then we'll get down to our text verse here in just a minute. And we'll talk about it and just give you a few points here and let you go home. Okay, the Bible says in verse number 4. Let's go to verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Listen to this. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way. And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, that means a continual thing, a continual testimony about the Lord. The Lord's on our mind. The Lord's on our song. The Lord's on our heart. We're praising the Lord and thanking the Lord all through the day. And our children see this. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon a post of thy house and on thy gates. They had a testimony. You've seen some of these signs where I had scripture on them. People have them hanging in the house. We used to have a bunch of them years ago. Well, they had them everywhere. And everywhere you look, when you come in, you see them. When you went to yonder, you see them. Went in another room. You come to the gatepost, you've seen them. And it was the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And listen to what he's give us. Now, he said he's going to carry you. Now, it's your Canaan land. It's not a type of, it's not heaven. It's a type of victorious life.
Yeah.
And all of us want the victorious life. You might know what it is, but you still want it.
Right.
You want the victory in your life. You want the victory in your life. That you can have victory day by day, you can have victory, and you can praise God and thank God and just stay on the mountain. Amen? He said in verse number 11, in the house full of good things, which thou fittest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now he said, when you get all this stuff, when you get a car, you know, remember you didn't have a good car, you got a good car now. Well, you didn't have a good pickup, but you got a good pickup now. You didn't have a good house, but you got a good house now. You didn't have any good clothes, but you got good clothes now. He said, you be careful. Because you may forget the Lord.
Right.
You may turn to your own self-sufficiency, and you may forget the Lord, what the Lord done for you. Listen, Lord, give me my first two suits. I didn't have a suit when I got saved. I had some little blue pants and a little blue shirt, and I didn't have a tie. My wife went down to the A&P store, grocery store, and bought me a tie, one of them clip-on jobs, off of the rack in the A&P store years ago. I didn't have anything. We was broke and in debt and nothing. Dilapidated car, amen, dilapidated pickup truck, had to sell it every once in a while to pay the bills up, then get some other kind of old truck and sort of fix it up and sell it again to pay the bills up,
It was always a fight, you know. It was always a struggle trying to make it. And then the Lord saved us. And the Lord gives us a new vision, a new idea, amen?
Yeah,
new heart.
Yeah,
set our feet on solid rock and establish our gourds and put a song in our heart and praise into our lips.
Right.
And he said, hey, you need to be tithing. And we thought, what is that? He says 10%. We said, we can't. My wife said, can't afford it. I said, what he said, we can't afford not to.
Right.
Begin to tithe. Then begin to do mission money. And begin to give to the needy and give to this and give to that and give to the other. Just give, give. And the more you give, the more you got. I'm not one of them preachers on television. Now you give a seed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing right what God wants you to do, and God will bless your life.
Right.
God will supply your need. Of course, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But it goes on down here. It said, then beware lest I forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the house, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods. Now, he gives these commandments and statutes and judgments here. He said, thou shalt not go after other gods of the people which are around about you. And the Lord, thy God, is a jealous God among you. Now, he's jealous. He gets upset if you want to go after other gods. If you want to share him and have another god in your hand, he gets upset. Lest the anger of the Lord, thy God, be kindled against thee and destroy thee from all the face of earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. Go on down to verse number 17. You shall delight in, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimony and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Now you don't have to do much to please the Lord, just do right. Do right in your dealings, do right in your ways, do right in your action, do right in your life, and you can please the Lord. Just, it's not hard, just do right. Just, you mentioned a while ago, just do right. Some folks just don't want to do right. Now, do right is broke. Amen? Y'all better wake up. I mean, it ain't bedtime yet. It may be we'll get up, but it ain't now. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto the fathers. Then he goes on down to verse number 19. He said, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. Now listen, he's going to take care of everything. We're going through. You sing that song, I'm going through. I'm going through.
Yeah,
I'm going through by the grace of God. I've been saved 40 years last month, and I'm going through. I'm still going through.
Yeah.
I didn't know when I got saved I was going through, but I know, found out I was going through.
Right.
And it's good. It's been good 40 years. It'll be good 40 more years. Now, here's the text verse. And when thy sons ask thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimony and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Now, when they ask you, what is all this about? Let me ask you a question. Can you tell them? Can you tell them? This life we're living. Me and my wife, we're not home. It's Mother's Day. We're not home. Our daughter was shocked. Well, they hadn't been over there in 2 months. They're busy. They got things to do. Not critical, but they decided they're going to come over and be spiritual on Mother's Day and have a dinner over at Mother's Day at Mama's house and bring stuff over there. Informed the other day, we won't be there. Oh, I don't know if the plan, it was a plan, but when they found out we wasn't going to be there, it was a plan before. You know how that is. You know how you've done that before, you know. You know somebody ain't home, you're going to visit, you go to their house, knock on the door, leave a note on the door, you know they ain't home anyway, and it puts the ball in their place, right? That's a good visit there, amen. Probably done more than you would if you'd been home, amen. Well, they said, you know, we're going to come over. We want to be together on Mother's Day. Well, our life don't consist of Mother's Day. Thank God for Mother's Day.
Right.
We was going on vacation. After we left here tonight, we was going to go on vacation this week. And a man called. He had me lined up for the second of this month and to preach. And he changed it to this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. We was going on vacation. We always like to go to that truck show. Y'all know that. We go every year. We go up to the truck show. And I looked on the calendar, and our vacation was a truck show. And he called, and it just he wanted to change the date. The only place he wanted to change the date out of 30 days in the month, he wanted to change it to them 2 days right there. Well, our life don't consist of a truck show. Our life belongs to the Lord. I can testify that. I want to do the Lord's will. And if it takes having a vacation another day, and we're going to have a vacation another day, Lord willing. In fact, they ain't going to do nothing next month until they take all the month. Amen. But it changes your life, don't it? It changes your direction. It changes your place you go. It changes your what you got in mind sometimes changes, because if you're going to do the Lord's will, you're going to have to change what you're doing and go the Lord's way instead of your way. And most of the time, it'll run contrary to your will. Always. We pastored here. We'd be on vacation. Somebody have a heart attack and leave vacation and come back here. I think y'all have done that. I didn't feel hard about that, but that was part of our life. What is your life? When your children ask about your life, when your children ask, why are you this way and that way, and why can't we go to the movies, and why can't we wear shorts, and why can't we go to the beach and lay out in the sun, and why can't we drink liquor, and why can't we play the cards, and why can't we have dice in the house? What do you tell them? Do you tell them anything? Or can you tell them? Can you tell them we got some dice in the back room, we got some cards in the back room, but the preacher come over, we don't see them? Or can you honestly tell them why you don't? I've never had a deck of cards, since I got saved.
Amen.
We had dice back yonder years ago, running and rolling, get snake eyes, and 11, 7, whatever, you know, the whole deal. I don't even like games with dice. I mean, I'm not getting off on things. Sure, that wasn't going to play. I'm telling you, there's some things just not appealing to the child of God.
Right.
You think about it before you do it, you probably won't do a whole lot of it, amen? Well, let me get on with the message. I better get on, y'all getting sort of quiet and sort of dead looking and sort of pink around the gills. Let me see, let me get this right here. What will you tell them about Egypt? Now, he said a while ago, he said, I brought you out of Egypt. He said, you're going into the land of milk and honey over yonder. You're going into the promised land. You're going to a land I promised you. You're going to a land where they got vineyards and got crops and got houses, and you didn't build none of them. And I'm going to run your enemies out. Can you tell your children about Egypt? Egypt is where God brought you from, if you're saved by the grace of God. Egypt is a picture of where God brought you from. And God brought me out of the land of sin and set my feet. I mentioned a while ago, but according to Psalms, I believe Psalms chapter 40, verse 2, the Bible says, set my feet on a solid rock and established my going and put a new song in my heart, even praise into my lips.
Amen.
He brought me out. There's so many folks today that's never been brought out that made a profession of faith somewhere, and it's the same old person that's never been changed by the grace of God. And the grace of God, the Bible says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world.
Amen.
First thing I knew when I got saved, listen, I was a church person. I hadn't been to church. I hadn't been to church like some of you had. I hadn't been taught in church. I hadn't been taught in Sunday school. But I knew when I got saved, something had gone wrong in here. Something is happening here. Something is changing here. And my desires have changed. And I'm not going by the beer joint on Monday evening when I get off of work anymore. My truck didn't turn that way like it used to. It went straight ahead for the glory of God. Can you tell your children? Can you tell your children what it means to be saved by the grace of God, and that God comes in and takes up an abode in your heart, in your life, and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My wife can testify this tonight about salvation, how that I got saved by the grace of God, and she made a profession of faith, but she didn't get salvation. She didn't trust Christ. She just trusted me getting right with God, or getting right, or getting better, or doing something, or straightening up, or something. She found out about a year and 3 months later that she was a sinner too. You see, the thing it is, we got to realize we're sinners before we can ever get hip. We got to realize we need a doctor before we can get some help at the doctor's place. We go down to the doctor. I went one time. I was down here and had diverticulitis. And I told my wife, I was hurting all down in here, had a fever. I said, we got to go somewhere. When I say we got to go somewhere, that means we got to go somewhere. Because we done come to a time that we got to go somewhere. It didn't take me long to decide to go to the doctor. And when I got lost without Jesus Christ and realized I was a sinner and realized I was on my way to hell, they said, can you tell your children about you got under conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, you was lost and on your way to hell, and you realize it, and the Holy Spirit of God dealt with your heart and dealt with your soul and brought you to your knees. He repented of your sin and you turned to Christ.
Right. Amen.
See, so many people have never been under conviction. If you're never under conviction, you never get saved. Bible says faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I see people, they knew one man, I pastored him, and the only testimony he had was one night he was in a car wreck, and it was going round and around and around in the road, and he called on the Lord to save him, and he said, that's when I got saved. I'd hate to go on that. I'd hate to go on that. Boy, many times I called on him back y'all before I ever knew him. Lord, help me get out of this, and I get out of the next one the best way I can. Lord, help me get out of this. Lord, help me put that gun up. Lord, help me put that knife up. Lord, help me get out of this. But I didn't get saved. It's more than just a physical experience. It's a birth. It's a birth from above. When it takes and touches your heart, it speaks to your heart, and you come to the end of your way. You must come to the end of your way. Brother Mays Jackson was preaching years ago, and this flusy lady come down. He was preaching, and he was preaching about sinners getting to get saved by the grace of God. And this flusy lady come down, and she was so flusy, she couldn't even bow at the altar. And she come down, and he said, what did you come for, man? She said, I come to get saved. He said, well, just bow down there and talk and call on the Lord. She said, well, I'm not that kind. You see, we got a lot of them not that kind. They joined the church. I used to mess around with a fellow years ago. And me and him stayed out too late one morning at the third shift. Went by the beer joint and he was getting on up in the day. Knew about time to come back to work again. And we was there and his wife come looking for him. Listen to this. I'll show you an instance. His wife come looking for him. And she come looking for him. She come across the parking lot and I was leaving. She come across the parking lot with the old car and he started out with the old truck and she run into him. She was mad at him. Well, they went home, and they had a big old fight and a big old dispute, and they called a preacher up there at the First Baptist Church in Hillsborough, North Carolina, called a preacher from up there and asked him to come over there, and he come over there, and he said, what y'all need to do is come forward Sunday, come to church Sunday, and come forward Sunday, and join the church, and all of you need to be baptized. He did. He did. No conviction, no repentance, no turning from sin. He was just the same old Andy. He went ahead and joined the organization and got him a ring, and he couldn't get the ring on his finger because he had a bent finger. And he spent the money to get his finger straightened out and he could put his ring on. He slapped hands with all the brethren and became wealthy. And in Kernersville, North Carolina, right now, he's got two or three Jiffy Lube things. But he missed one thing. He missed the Savior. He made fun of me when I got saved. See, he's just doing that to get back in the house. I wasn't doing it to get back in the house. I was in the house. I got saved. Amen. You see, he missed one thing. And my friend, across America, churches are full of people who missed one thing. That's realizing they're sinners and realizing they're lost and realizing they're dying their sin to go to hell. They're just like every other sinner, whether they're a drug head or a drunkard or a whoremonger or whatever they are, they're the same as every other sinner. They're no good sinners. Don't get quiet. You're just like all the rest of them. You're just like I was. Had the opportunity and the right mood and the right atmosphere and the right people to run around with, you'd have been just like me. There's no good sinners. They're all rotten. God looked over in Genesis. He thought it was all rotten, didn't he? whole crowd. They ain't changed. You say them sinners out there, I see sinners everywhere, and you say you see them and they're wicked and ungodly and drug heads, and look how they live and look how the filth they live in, and how they live in fornication, living in adultery and all this other stuff, just like us. Amen, Brother Larry. Yeah. No different from you. If we go back and talk about you, we talk about it being a bad sinner, an awful sinner, ungodly sinner. Ain't no different this crowd. Same bunch. Yeah. Same bunch. Same bunch was down today, it's all the same bunch be here. Amen. Same crowd. Just a different place. But they've been redeemed. Those are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Come on now. Don't die. Well, I thought we were going to have a good time tonight. I thought I would. Amen. Let me just give you a little something to show you about what you are right here, what you were. See, what you were and what you are to those things. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you got saved, if you got to realize you're a sinner, and we need to tell our children, listen, that we are sinners and they're sinners. Hey, little Junior ain't no angel. You follow Scott's little boy a little while, see how much angel is. I thought he was just like his daddy. I seen him dead, Donna. I seen him yesterday whining. I seen him yesterday wanting to sleep. I seen him today at lunch. I seen him talking to that little girl a while ago. Daddy tried to get him straightened up because daddy's the pastor. He wants his youngest straightened up. Amen. He's just like his daddy. Just like his daddy. You know what really messed you up? You know what really messes you up, Steve? When you see yourself and your youngins. I don't want my youngins to be like I was. Ain't nobody in here wants your youngins to be like you were. You want to sort of pan out a little better, right? Amen? All right. Listen, we need to tell them. Listen, we need to tell them. We need to tell what will you tell your youngins about Egypt? What will you tell them about being a sinner? What will you tell them about the past life? I mean, you ain't got to brag about the past life, but you need to let them know that God brought you from somewhere.
Amen.
You was there, and God delivered you out.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
Look what the Bible said. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9 and 11. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers or effeminates and abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, listen, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You've been took out of that crowd. They need to know that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And you've got to be born again to get out of that crowd, to get over in this crowd into God's crowd. What were you telling them? Could you tell them that? If you ain't, if nothing ever happened to you, you can't tell them. See, I can tell you if it happened. I don't have a better problem telling it. I don't have a better problem witnessing. All you got to do is tell it. Well, I remember a day. Paul always remembered a day on Damascus Road. You remember that?
Right, sure did.
I can remember a day. 107 Porter Lane, 1970, April 11th, 1970. Down beside an old green, not leather, not noggin hide, but a plastic sofa. Knelt down beside that thing. We didn't have any air conditioning. That's the kind you lay on that sofa and you sweat on one side. And you got a fan blowing and you turn over and sweat on the other side. It cools off that side and you turn back over the other side. You remember that? Y'all been there? I've been there. Me and my wife got married. We lived out in the middle of a field. This is the middle of a field, right out in the middle of a field. With no trees in sight. An old rusted out trailer for 6 years. With no air conditioning whatsoever. You think I ain't tough? I made it this far. Now you got to have air conditioning. If you got it in the window, you got to have it in three or four windows. Or you got to have it centralized and come up through there. Hey, we can't move in no place without air conditioning. We didn't know anything about it. We thought the folks uptown had air conditioning. We didn't know. Out in the middle of a field. I mean, you get up 100, 103 degrees. We out there just roasting. It's hotter than that oven we cooked that chicken in yesterday. I mean, it's hot, brother. I work in second shift and third shift and try to sleep in the daytime. That's, by the way, that's the hottest time of the 24 hours is daytime. Yeah. Get up, you didn't even have to take a bath. You'd already took a bath in the bed. Just dry off and go home. Remember them days? You see, the thing is, we've got to realize, and we've got to tell our children that we're sinners one time, and they're sinners one time. They need to be saved. Move right along. Will you be able to tell them how Christ defeated the devil? Will you be able to tell them how Christ defeated the devil in your life? You see, the thing is, if you've never been really born again, you can't tell the whole story. You can shoot at it, but you'll miss it. Now, if you are quiet. You see, if you ain't really in, you can't tell how to get nobody else in. You got to be able to tell how to get somebody else in. It's got to happen in your life. Now, you'll go to Scripture and tell them, but it's got to be real. It's got to be real. I remember going down to Sayers, remember going down to Scott's, remember going here and yonder. And we'd stay a long time and talk about everything, right, Dale? And you know what Dale would say? I knew what he was saying all along. He's going to get to it sooner or later. You remember? You remember how we'd talk about the deers and we'd talk about this and talk about the mowing and talk about the fishing and all that stuff and talk about the youngins and had the grandbabies and everything? You remember that? And then we'd stop. And say, how about Jesus? I finally got so down, I talked to him so much, I said, he's tired of hearing what I say. I finally got so I'd go down and see him and go down and mow the yard or go down by there, you know, and I'd leave and I'd say, don't forget, Jesus still loves you and wants to save you. I'd drive on off real fast. That's where it got him. He said one day he thought I wasn't going to say I done talked to him and got in the car and rode down the driveway. And he said, told me one time here a while back, he said, I believe you give up on me. I got way down to the end of the driveway. I said, hey, don't forget Jesus loves you and still wants to save you. And all the time, God was doing the work. We talked about it yesterday, how God was doing the work. Old Scott come to Bible school. Remember that? Well, he come over yonder a couple times, then come over here, and he come over here and sit over here somewhere. And we done a thing one night at Bible school. He come for the hot dogs. He did. He come for the hot dogs. He come to hot dogs, and I preached on as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness. You remember that? And I had a snake, and I made like, you know, biting everybody, you know. And then I said, and they put him on, and then I put him on a stick, and everybody in the camp looked, live, right? And then I brought out another stick with a cross. It was white. Had blood on each corner, you know. And I said, but talk about that being the cross of Christ. And that night, Scott understood what it's all about. He left us to stir it up. He went out there, put his family in the car, and come over to the church. I believe standing on the porch. He didn't know what to say. He come over. He said, preacher, he said, pray for my family. Wasn't that crazy? Pray for your family. That's the only thing you need spiritual to say. Pray for my family. Hey, what was God doing? I wasn't doing nothing. I don't even have no idea what's going on, see? I'm dumb in a rock. I'm just preaching. And God doing the work. Doing the work in his heart and convinced him in his heart. And then went down to the funeral home and they were down there one night. And Tabitha said, preacher, me and Scott need to talk to you and Miss Patty. And I said, okay. You know what? That was on Monday night. And Tuesday night was visitation. I said, and I didn't even cross my mind. It is going to be bird tomorrow. And I said, how about tomorrow? They said, that's fine. God was working. See, God was working over here, and God was working in Bible school, and God was working. Tiffany, she was a little girl, and you know what she was doing? She was praying for Mom and Daddy. You remember when she used to have a prayer request? Scott mentioned a while ago. You remember that, Tiff? You don't remember, you're too little. But you did. Pray for my mom and daddy. Pray for my mom and daddy. And the bus boy would go down every week and visit them. Right. Tormenting. Yeah. Wasn't doing nothing, just going down and visiting. And Scott would go out the back door. Why? It wasn't the bus worker. It was the Holy Ghost of God. Pricking his heart. He kicking against him all the time. He kept a pricking. And then one night, both of them bowed their knee. Now they're your pastor, the pastor's wife. Good ones. Good ones. Isn't that amazing? Now God done that. Can you tell your children about that? Can you tell your children how God brought you out and God set your feet on a solid rock and God defeated the devil and made the devil get out of your life and give you freedom and give you liberty and you was hitched to the hitching post of sin and God said, loose him. And let him go. He said, the Bible says, listen, he's right here. He is right here over in the book of Revelation. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And it was dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And have the keys to hell and death.
Right.
Can you tell your children assuredly that you are saved by the grace of God. You come from death into life. You come from darkness into light. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the devil's been defeated by the cross of Calvary. And you've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another real quick. Will you be able to tell them that he brought you out that he might carry you in? And they brought me out. And when I got saved, I didn't know if I was going to be saved for a little good while or not. I didn't know. Everything I'd ever tried. You may be like it. Listen, I tried motorcycles, race cars, and the whole deal, and the nightclubs, and the bright lights, and liquor, and everything else. And you know what? Listen to me. He's going to take care of all that. Listen to me. I wonder if it lasts. You know, that didn't last. I mean, you get a brand new motorcycle. Put them high handlebars on, look like a monkey going down the road. Yeah. And boy, this is what I've been wanting right here. This is it. Well, about a month or so, it really ain't it. You can get an old race car and go to the racetrack, put your beer on the back of your pickup truck, run around some laps, you know, and do real good, and maybe run somebody off the track and everything, and think you've really done good. Come back in and jump up on the back of the pickup and open up your cooler and get your Bud Dummers out. Y'all with me? You say, this is it. I told my wife one time, we had an old car, went track over there, new old track years ago. It's been 50 years ago, I guess. And went around, and jumped up there. And I said, hey, this is what we've been looking for. I can carry the whole family. Youngest sitting on the back of the pickup, you know. My wife there on the back of the pickup, me driving. This is what I've been looking for. But you know what? It wasn't long I wasn't carrying the youngest. It wasn't long I wasn't carrying the wife. It wasn't long I wasn't interested in racing. You see, it played out. When I got saved, listen, you might have been the same way. When I got saved, I wondered. I said, I hope it lasts. I really did. I said, I hope it lasts. I'd seen so many didn't last. You know what I mean? I'd seen so many things didn't last. But I'm glad I can report to mature and it's good. Listen, it's good. And it lasts. And it lasts for time and for eternity. And wait, hey, youngest, when you come by and look at me in that box, don't you worry about daddy. It lasted. All the way. Hey, been laying out there, you know, in a nice little box. Maybe Brother John built it. And not just John, but another John I know builds caskets. He might build me a pretty one. And laying right there. And when you come by, don't worry about Brother Larry. It lasted. And I can testify to my children, it's lasted. It's good. It'll last for time and eternity. It'll last for seasons and ages to come. It's good. I mean, don't worry about me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this right here. Can you tell them that we were all sinners, as we mentioned a while ago, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says written, there's none righteous, no one. Can you tell them that? Can you tell them that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Can you tell them where sin came from? You see, you got to know these things. They got to know that everybody's a sinner. They got to know where sin comes. It just didn't start last week when you got up and drank a beer. It didn't just start then. It didn't start the first time you cursed. Sin came over in the garden. Rebelling against God. People have been rebelling against God ever since. Going down through there, though. The price of sin. The wages of sin, death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Who paid the price for sin? The Lord Jesus Christ did. But God commands love toward us while we yet sinners. Christ died for us. How can we be saved? As thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes and rises, with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Then can you tell them about the Christian life? What are you going to tell your children? You're going to have to tell them something. You're going to have to tell them something. If you don't know Christ, you can't tell them about Christ. If you don't know Christ, you can't tell them that He delivers, that He saves and sanctifies and fills with the Holy Ghost. You can't tell them that. How about the Christian life? Can you tell them about the Christian life? Can you go to the book of Romans in chapter number 12 over there? And can you, have you ever been over that place by faith over there in Romans, Acts and Romans, chapter number 12? The Bible says over there in chapter number 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed and renewed in your mind, that may prove with a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. I left here, I believe God's perfect will, when I resigned from here. Been about 2 years ago, ain't it? A little over 2 years, ain't it? A little over 2 years. I knew I had a good man to take over. And I honestly believe it's God's perfect will. Still believe God's perfect will. And I wasn't aiming on pastor. Not aiming on pastor. I thought maybe I'd preach somewhere. Somebody let me preach sometime. And now I'm preaching here and yon and here and yon and here and yon. I thought about the other day, if this thing gets any more, then I probably ought to just be pastoring. It'll be easier than doing this. I mean, we're dragging the camper around from here and going to go drag it from here Tuesday to go to Lucas's on Tuesday, and then we're going to leave Friday from Lucas and go to St. Stephen's on Friday and leave there on Monday. That's hard on an old man. But you know what? That's the Christian life. That's part of it. It's not my life, you see. I presented one day, whatever. He said, what's God going to use you for? What's God going to do to you? What are you going to do? I have no idea. That's the way I live. I may be pastor next year. I had one foolish church wanted me to pastor since I've been gone. I said, you don't know me that good. And I had to preach several more weeks for them. They didn't ask me no more. See, the thing is, see, I don't know God's will for the future. I know God's will for today. I believe I know God's will for Wednesday and Thursday. I believe I know God's will for Saturday and Sunday of next week. From there on, I don't know. And see, God's will might change, and it may put another meeting in. It may cancel a meeting out. You see, Brother Willis called me and wanted me to come on the 2nd of this month. I thought, that's good. I told Patty, I said, we don't get nothing in vacation week now. Yeah, we did it. We marked it off. We no meetings in this week here. But the problem was, I got a problem. I come on to Romans 12 one time. Not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
I'm your servant. And where you lead, I'll follow. And where you open the door, I'll step it in. That messed up vacation. Can you imagine messing up vacation? Well, I don't have a vacation. Somebody said, you're retired, you don't work, you have vacation all the time. I work harder now than I did years ago. I work harder now than I did when I drove a truck. Have you ever worked Miss Patty? You ain't never worked Miss Patty. She's a slave driver, brother. I mean, I'm doing something all the time, right, Scott? I'm doing something all the time. Every day. Scott went to the back of barn. We got a house here, and the back of barn's over yonder. But you got to go down a hill like this right here and back up a hill like this over here to get to the back of barn. And one day we went over to the back of barn, what, 3 or 4 times? And we got over to the back of barn one time. We come back. We forgot what we went for. And we come back down. We got down to the bottom of the hill. I said, we got to go back because we forgot what we got to go back and get what we're going for. Most folks, as old as I am, get a golf cart and go to the gym. I don't get a golf cart. I ain't got a golf cart. I got a heel.
Yeah.
I got mowing to do. I got trees to plant. I take care of the churchyard. Do this and do that and do the other. It's something all the time. I don't know why when I worked, I had time to do anything. I'm saying, listen, hey, what are you going to tell your children? I'm going to tell you something. This is a good life. And there's two ways you tell your children. You tell them by your mouth. You tell them by your life. And they're looking at your life. My youngest don't understand. But they get a little older, they'll understand. They'll come too one day. They'll come. Now, they're not rebellious about it. They don't get mad about it. They don't fuss about it. But a lot of times, they just don't understand. Well, I thought all of us could get together at Thanksgiving. You remember? Well, we always want to get together on Mother's Day. And Daddy had a birthday, and we never did get together that month. That's right, and you hadn't sent nothing by FedEx, neither. I'm still looking for it. I think they're going to wait a Father's Day and double up on it. That way I can give a one good one. You know, you know how it is? Yeah. What are you going to tell your children? You got to tell them something. You got to tell them something about this life. This life that God has given you. What are you going to tell your children? You tell it by mouth. You tell it by actions. The mouth don't mean nothing if action ain't going on. I had somebody tell me here a while back that somebody said that they was a good Christian because and they're beer drinkers, but they're good Christians. You can't prove ever me. It's something. Listen, I'm gonna quit right here. There's some things going on now, brother, in religious circles that God saved me from. Do you know that? If they're right now, I was right for what we got saved. That's true. This stuff going, isn't it? You work around people like that. I was there and was wrong, and I got saved, and God brought me out of it. Now I look back, and they're supposed to be right, and I'm wrong over here trying to live for God, according to them. They say, well, you're under the law. I ain't under the law, under grace. Amen. Grace all the way. Hey, grace don't make you go out and sin. Right. And grace don't give you a license to sin. Amen. Come on now. Grace don't give you a license to sin. Amen. I quoted a while ago around Titus, wasn't it? The grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. That's grace. That's grace. Amen. What you going to tell your children? Need to get life right. Need to make sure you're saved. Need to get a life, a testimony for Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you'll see. Okay, every head bowed, everybody close. You ask the pianist, come on. Let's all stand, if you will, and have a verse of invitation tonight. You might want to come tonight and get us off and talk to the Lord about a testimony, about your children. Your testimony before your children. Your testimony before your grandchildren. See, they're coming on too. Some of us got old enough to have grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to know that Papa loved the Lord. They might not understand it now. They might understand why I can't be there at different times. But I don't understand. He comes first. You see, He comes first. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you now, Lord, for the privilege to come before you. Thank you for today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. Thank you for the pastor and his wife. And I pray, Lord Jesus, bless them. I pray, Lord, you speak to hearts tonight. Lord, there's testimonies that should be shared. There's testimonies tonight that should be strengthened. There's testimonies tonight that should be told to the children. What God, great things the Lord's done. I pray, Lord, you deal with hearts tonight. Help them, Lord Jesus, to make those good decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. Go right ahead and play us a verse of invitation. If you need to come tonight, you come. I don't know what your need might be. I tell you one thing, if you're not saved, you sure need to get saved. If you are saved, you need to have that testimony. You need to have that testimony that you can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can tell your children what great things the Lord's done. Are you listening? What great things the Lord's done. The Lord done it. The Lord done it. Give Him the honor and give Him the glory. Give Him the praise for everything He's done. Well, that's the only way we win our children many times. They see what God's done in our life. You need to come right on tonight. We'll turn over to Brother Scott here in just a minute. you need to come, you come right on. Come on, brother.
Altar's open tonight. Altar's open for you. Maybe it'd be a good night tonight to make a decision. I'm going to stand for something. And my children will know what I believe. And my grandchildren will see in my life what a Christian should be. Think about David. David fought the Philistine giant. He told his brothers and told his family. He said, there's a cause that all the earth may know there is a God. The reason we need to live our life and serve the Lord is not only because there is a God, but because there's people watching, people looking. There's always somebody looking at you. Somebody's always watching you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be used to. Well, Daddy used to read his Bible. Daddy used to go to church. And Daddy used to be a soul winner. Daddy used to care. I don't want my children to have to say that about me or my wife or this church. I want them to be able to say Daddy was faithful. Daddy loved the Lord. Daddy was a preacher. Father God, we thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for being so good to us and meeting every need, every desire, every want we have in our lives. We can run to our Heavenly Father, and you're there to wrap your arms around us, embrace us, and love us. Father God, tonight I pray for myself, and not only myself, but these others also, that God, you continue to put a burning desire in our hearts to be faithful. And God, it'd be useless to ask you to help us because you will help us, and you want to help us. But I pray, Father, tonight we'll step out of the way. And we're not hindered the work of God. We're not hindered the Holy Spirit from taking full control of our lives. Lord, it's not about content. We all have the same Holy Spirit if we're saved by God's grace. God and I, it's about control. Well, God, I want the Holy Spirit of God to have full control of myself and my life, my family, our homes, everything that we have. May it be used for God and God's glory. Lord, bless the families that's here tonight. God, what will we tell our children? What would our children tell about us? Lord, help us to stay faithful, to keep fighting, to finish our course. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you for being here. Love you to death. Thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. One thing we can say about Preacher Larry is he's still the same. Amen. He's still the same. They'll meet you at the back door. Hug them. Kiss them. Love on them. Shake their hands. Whatever you wish to do. And let them know you love them, okay? And Brother Steve, if you will, you close us in prayer tonight.